So continuing from yesterday, then now if we look at where does culture come from? How do we even have a concept that there should be some kind of form or some kind of social structure? That there should be some kind of value structure? You know, there should be some proper way of interacting with each other. So where does that idea come from? You know, there has to be something. It has to come from somewhere. Because the living entity, he doesn't make anything up. Right? He doesn't create anything. He may imagine things, but we imagine things from our own experience. Right? We have experience, and then we put it together, like Prabhupada said, in a dream. You may see gold, you may see a mountain, and in your dream you see a golden mountain, but you're not creating something that is out of your area of experience. The living entity is too small. He cannot make his own thing up. So Krishna is who has the good, imagination. Krishna is the one who can make things. So like in his yoga nidra, then he is dreaming all what's going on in the material world, and that's what's happening. Right? It's all part of his dream. He's dreaming all these things, and it's happening. Difference is with us, when we dream, it's illusion. But Krishna is satya-sankalpa, so whatever he thinks, that happens. Right? So even what he dreams, that is what goes on. Right? So these aspects are there. So it has to come from somewhere. It can't just come from nowhere. The whole idea of culture. There has to be some foundation for it, something from our experience. So to get this understanding and the experience, we need to go back quite a long time. We have to go back before we came to this material sphere. So what we have is you have the life in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you already have an existing eternal culture is going on there. There it is, the culture of Krishna consciousness, or the culture of the devotees of the Lord interacting with the other devotees and the Lord himself. So this interaction, this is the culture of the spiritual realm. This is what's going on there. So that culture then is what gets reflected here. Right? In the Gita, Krishna says that the spiritual realm is reflected onto the water of desire. Right? If you want a good reflection, then you have some water. Like you have a tree, then you have the, and it's standing next to the water, and then in the water you can see a very nice tree. Right? Looks very similar. Right? And looks, it looks the same. Right? Same shape, everything. Same colors. Of course, the colors are not as bright. It's not exactly as clear. And then you run into, that's about as far as it gets. Then you run into a little bit more problems. It's only 2D instead of 3D. You can't actually take anything from it. You see fruits, flowers, you can't get them. They have no smell, no taste. There's no texture. So it becomes very reduced in what you can get out of the out of that tree. So the whole spiritual realm has been reflected into the material world. Right? So there are trees. So here there are trees. There are rivers. Here there's rivers. There's mountains. Here there's mountains. Right? You drop something, it goes down. It doesn't go up. Right? Trees grow out of the ground, the leaves are up, the roots are down. So that's the way it is in the spiritual realm. Right? When they eat in the spiritual realm, they put things in their mouth. They don't put it in their ear. Right? So they do what they're doing there is what is reflected here. So this is where our remembrances come from. This is where our understandings come from. Right? That's our experience. So we saw all this, we know all this, but unfortunately there was one problem. We had no problem with what the place looked like. It was plenty beautiful enough for us. It was pleasant enough for us. The association was very nice. The food was good. The clothes were nice. Everything was nice. But there was one problem. That we didn't want to be servant. We thought we should be master. Krishna is the master. Why only him? Why not us? Why we shouldn't be at the end of the line? Why we are having to go through and Krishna's at the end of the line? Everyone is serving him, pleasing him. Why not us? Why don't we put ourselves there? So that's the only thing we wanted to change about the spiritual realm. We didn't want to change anything else. So then when we come here, then we have those interests. We have the same interests. But the difficulty is now it means the rasas are same. You see five rasas there. It's the same here. Right? The seven secondary rasas, you see the same here. So like that, it's all the same. The difference being that is spiritual, like us, it is eternal, while here it is material. Right? The spiritual realm is the internal potency. The dham, the devotees, everything are expanding from the surup shakti, the internal potency. So that means whatever aspect that we want to enjoy, we won't be allowed, because the internal potency belongs to Krishna. And the internal potency won't allow either. Just like we see when Ravana comes to touch Sita, he never actually touches the internal potency Sita. He actually catches the material energy Sita. It means that the internal potency, as she transforms into the material expansion. So we wouldn't be able to touch, no question. So the only place where we can try to be the Lord, try to be the enjoyer, is the material world. That's the only place. Huh? Maybe we can all move up a little bit, maybe give a little more space. So this, so therefore Krishna gives us the reflection, right? He gives us the reflection. And, okay, you can play with that. So then the living entity goes to play. But if you say, if like the kid, you see a child, and he's there, and he says, oh, I want one of these fruits from the tree. You know? But no, this is for Krishna, right? It's for the offering, all that. So then, you know, then you can say to the child, and he says, no, it's for Krishna. No, but I want. Okay, you have one of those ones in the there. See that tree in the water? There's so much fruit there. You take how much you want of that. Right? So the child may say, well, that's just a reflection. I want this. So therefore, Krishna has to enter the material nature. He has to put his potency here so that we actually think it's the spiritual world. Right? So we think, yes, this is the spiritual realm. Otherwise, what is to attract us here? You know, if you have any intelligence, you understand it's just an illusion. So what's the use? But we see Krishna has entered it by his potency. But, so we become conditioned to that. But we don't see Krishna. That's the thing. Even though the attractiveness is Krishna, we don't see Krishna. When we drink water and it tastes so nice, we're not thinking, oh, this is Krishna. Right? The devotee thinks like that. But the karmi just thinks, oh, this water is very nice. But it's Krishna that makes the taste good. Otherwise, what is the attractiveness? So anything that we get a taste out of, any kind of attraction, any kind of attachment to in the material sphere, that's because Krishna is inside that. Therefore, the devotee then becomes expert at seeing Krishna. And then, with time, he slowly gives up his attachments to seeing Krishna in so much variety of things. And he just wants to see Krishna in his original form, right? We can see, yes, Krishna is, you know, in climbing a mountain or doing some sports. But that is, we're getting something out of that. But how is that service to Krishna? Climbing the mountain, okay, we see Krishna in the mountain. That can be the very beginning stages. But if we're actually seriously look at it, how are we pleasing Krishna? How are we serving Krishna in that mountain by climbing it? Right? Then the devotee starts to think, well, how to perform favorable devotional service. That's what Rupa Goswami recommends. Anyavilashita sunyam. Nice, some favorable. Otherwise, Kamsa also is thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. But it wasn't favorable. So in the same way, we may be seeing Krishna in the mountain while we're climbing it. Oh yes, this is such great, great happiness, climbing this mountain, such adventure, and Krishna's adventure, so I'm seeing Krishna. But how is that service? You're still seeing Krishna, but the whole emphasis is on our own senses. So it's a beginning stage, but it is not going to give the fruit of pure devotion. As we see, Kamsa did not go back to Godhead. He goes to the Brahman. Therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends that certain activities will give you pure devotion. So with time, we start pulling our attention out of the material nature and start putting it into the spiritual nature, into Krishna in his name, in his form, qualities, pastimes, into his prasad, into the association of devotees. Then we feel very happy. Otherwise, we're not happy. So Krishna has entered like that just so that we will take it. Just so we'll take the material world and do something here, right? Means if we're going to make trouble, better we don't make trouble in the spiritual realm. At least if we have to make trouble, do it somewhere else. So this is the place for those who like to make trouble, right? That's what the material world's for. Right? Means everybody wants to be God. So Prabhupada gives the example, if you drop one rock in the water, you get nice concentric rings, and it can go across the whole lake. Huh? But if you drop many rocks, then they all the waves fight with each other. So in the same way, you can understand, just in humans, we have 5 billion on the planet. So already that's 5 billion little centers, 5 billion little gods. Then you throw in all the ants and the birds and the fish and the bugs and the beasts and that. So you end up with a lot of living entities trying to be God in the same place. So it never works. Can't work. So now, so we see that the material world has reflected. So now the closer we are to that reflection, the more it is going to be satisfying to us as a living entity. Right? The more we are following that culture. Right? That is the position. So, but this is very, very broad. What is reflected, a lot is reflected. Right? When you have a tree, everything's reflected. So that means so many things are there. We see that Krishna and the gopis, they have rasa dance. Right? Krishna sneaks out from his house, goes off with the girls. Then the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, and they're worshipping demigods, right? Because human beings must do some worship. They must do some ritual. Some religion must be there. But Krishna, for them, is their child, their friend, their lover, like this. He's not God. So therefore they worship these others. And it's just part of the pastime, right? Radharani isn't interested in worshiping the sun god. She's interested to get out of the house, go to the sun temple, where Krishna will meet her. Right? So it's just an excuse. And then if Radharani's mother wants to see if she's worshiping nicely, she can come and see. She's waving the lamps and everything. So she's satisfied. Yes, it's going on nicely. What she doesn't know is Krishna is the pujari. Right? And she, being a village girl, doesn't know so much about all the pujas. So the temple Brahmin will show her properly how to hold the things nicely, how to do the things, you know, all these different things like this. You know, so like that. And what goes on there is simply to make arrangements so that the devotees can come together with Krishna. So that is the purpose of all of them. So now, in our conditioned state, then, and amongst each other, many of these things don't apply. They're all meant to apply with Krishna. Right? Means there, the girls are dancing with Krishna. While here, if we strike up a rasa dance, nobody's going to be dancing with Krishna. You'll just get together some boys and girls, and it'll be quite mundane. Therefore, we have to approach the acharyas. The acharyas then tell us what things from this reflected culture are of use for getting you back to Godhead. Because we have to understand, when the living entities come here from this spiritual existence, they didn't come here to go back to Godhead, right? They came here to be the enjoyer. Therefore, and there's many varieties of taste. Many varieties of taste. So that means you have to be able to accommodate the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and then within the karma, so many different varieties of karma, jnana, so many different varieties of jnana, so many different aspects of yoga, just to keep everyone busy. Right? So that they can have some, otherwise they'll be dissatisfied. So Krishna's arranged some nice variety, so that the living entity can try to taste so many things, trying to be God in so many different ways. Human being God, and dog God, and American God, and Indian God, and, you know, like that. So many different kinds. So, the acharyas then point out that all these, whatever is there in the culture, that its goal is karma, or jnana, or yoga, these things are left. Those aspects of the culture are left. And we just take those aspects that are either going to themselves generate pure devotional service, or they're going to support it, or at least they're not going to disturb it. Right? So that way you end up with five different levels. Those that they themselves create pure devotional service. Those that very strongly support it. Those that are neutral. Those that are may give some good result, but may give in a different direction. Just like for us, if we worship Lakshmi Narayan, then it can get us to Vaikunthas, but we want to go to Vrindavan. So that'll be avoided, though it's spiritual. And then those are things that are completely against devotional service. The exact names are not, I don't remember. This is in the Madhurya Kadambini. In Nectar Devotion it is talked about. It means the exact. In other words, it means those things which are favorable. So you have anukul and pratikul. Anukul means those things that are favorable for devotional service. Let us say, chanting Hare Krishna, that will itself is spiritual and will give you a purely spiritual result. It means it itself can take you back to Godhead. Right? Let us say something like taking bath three times a day. Taking bath three times a day will not make you God conscious. But if you're practicing God conscious, taking bath three times a day will increase the standard of the mode of goodness, will help us become God conscious. Right? Keeping karmi association, or keeping, listening to karmi music, eating karmi food, that will be bad for devotional, that'll take us away. Understand? So like that, you have those that are favorable, those that are neutral, and those that are against. So, therefore, the acharyas point out that this culture is very broad. Even the Vedic culture, you have to be very careful. Just because it's Vedic doesn't mean that it's something that we have to do. We have to take those aspects that the Acharyas give us. Then another aspect, when we're getting from the Acharyas, more important than just the activity itself, but is the mood in which we perform the activity. Because the mood is what actually gets the proper result. Right? Just like if we deal with somebody, if their attitude is nice, we are very happy, very satisfied. But if their mood's not nice, even though they do all the right things, we're not happy. So understanding the proper mood, understanding the purpose, these are very essential in the study of Krishna consciousness. It's expected that as one advances, one will understand and study these things. Right? It means that first we know Krishna is God, we are His servant, and we should perform devotional service, and the best is chanting Hare Krishna, distributing the holy name. Right? We see. When Prabhupada first went to America, the first devotees, this is the first thing they knew. Right? Even when Prabhupada went to San Francisco, he had never been there. Only Mukunda Maharaj had been there. And there were like 50 devotees coming around. You know, interested persons. They're all hippies, dressed as hippies, act as hippies, everything hippies. But they knew Krishna is God, I am His servant, then I should perform service, and I should chant Hare Krishna, take prasad. They knew this. Right? So that's where you start from. This is for starting from understanding our relationship. Right? This is called sambandha gyan. Sambandha means how to make connection. So we know how to make that connection. We know what is the connection. Then the next principle is abhideya. We should understand how to serve. If we're servants, how do we do that? Right? Okay, I have a relationship. Now what do I do? What is my activities? So this abhideya, this is where the culture is. And we have many different levels of that, addressing the various aspects of our devotional service. Right? So as we were discussing yesterday, then Krishna says, after full surrender, then is sadhana. That is the next aspect. So many aspects are going to be within that, of activities, of the abhideya. Next is then service, how to perform the service, what are the varieties of service. Right? Then we drop from it's Krishna's service into it's my service, but I give the results to Krishna. This is important to understand these two, because it's only a matter of consciousness. Right? There's an activity. I do that activity, and activity creates a result. Right? Now, if it's Krishna's activity, then before I start, I know the result is Krishna's. Right? Isn't it? I sell a book. It's Krishna's book. We're doing Krishna's Sankirtan. And the money we get from that book is Krishna's. Another is that, well, I need money. So rather than go out to a karmi job, I sell books. At least books go out. But I've got the books, bought the books. They're not the temple books. They're my books. I sell them and I get the money. It's my money. You know, of course, I pay the BBT. But what's left is mine. And then I do with it what I want. So then Krishna recommends, if we're in this mentality, then give the result. Give the fruit, how much you can. Something, more, less, but give. And that's service. By giving something, you give money, you give result. If somebody gives some money, it's used for the deity worship. Then the person who gives the money, the person who does the deity worship, get the same result. Right? The person who sees the artik, the person who performs the artik, gets the same result. Yes?
Even though their consciousness may be at different levels.
Yes. The point is you get result according to the consciousness. But if if, let's say, somebody gives money to do this artik, the pujari performs that in good consciousness, the person who gave the money will get the same result as the consciousness of the pujari. Therefore, even doing the puja and these things is preaching. Because you're going out, you're collecting money, the people who've given that money, whatever that's used for, the people who gave the money get the result. And the devotees who perform it get the result. That's why if you waste money, that is sinful. Because then the people could have gotten result. Like you go out, you buy vegetables, right? And then half you waste. That means, one, the person who gave the money, they didn't get full result of serving Krishna. And those vegetables that went bad, they didn't get to serve Krishna. Right? Plants were there, living entities were there. We've harvested that. Now that vegetable gets offered to Krishna, then that living entity gets the result. So this is preaching. So the preacher understands all this. And he sees the connection. He is servant. So the temple devotee who's doing these services, or whoever's doing, they see themselves as servant of everyone else. This way they keep their balance. And those who are living outside, then they feel, oh, they've been able to surrender, they're giving so much of their time and everything, I cannot do that, so at least I can give some of the results of my activities. And when I get a chance, I'll come to the temple and do some service. Right? So this way, then there's a nice reciprocation. This way it works very, very nicely. But if you don't do that, then if one becomes proud, oh, we're special, we're temple devotees, we're full-time devotees. But what's the use? If you're not fully engaged in benefiting everything, then why? If you're only half engaged, better you go out and do something, make some money like everybody else, be honest. But if one can nicely, fully engage, it's inspiring to oneself and to others. Like that. That is why the Brahmins are given that facility. Because whatever they do, it's for the benefit of everyone. Right? So of Brahmins, the best is the Vaishnava. Right? You have a Brahmin. Now he has three stages. First stage is called Dvija. Means they've received initiation. Right? Now, you received initiation, doesn't mean you know anything, can do anything. Right? But now you're qualified that now you can do. We understand that point? You know, it's just like, yeah. Okay? Then, he studies. Practices. Then he becomes knowledgeable, becomes expert in some aspect of the Vedic knowledge culture like this. Then he is known as a vipra, means he's knowledgeable, he's pundit, scholar. But now this is intellectual. This is what Prabhupada calls gyan. Now with time of practicing, and if one has good association, then one comes to the platform of vigyan, or realization. Then one understands what is being said. What is the purpose of that? What it means. Right? And then, what is the purpose of all Vedic knowledge? To always remember Krishna, never forget. That's what is the... All Vedic knowledge comes back to this root point. Then he becomes a devotee, becomes a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnav includes the Brahmanism. If one is properly practicing devotional service, practicing sadhana bhakti for the pleasure of Krishna, one is automatically a Brahman. By understanding, by culture, by behavior. This is very important to understand if we want to be able to function within the system of Daivavarnashram. So we have to understand that everyone who is following Daivavarnashram by realization, by culture, is a devotee, and that includes Brahman. Devotee is the final step of Brahmanism. If one understands this, Varnashram becomes very, very easy. If one doesn't understand this, it becomes unlimitedly difficult. Means if you understand this, you can establish nicely Varnashram today. Very practically. If you don't understand this, then one will naturally come to the conclusion, well, maybe it worked 500 years ago, maybe it worked 5,000 years ago. Because one is not understanding what is Daiva Varnashram. Daiva Varnashram means the platform, because the platform of sadhana means Brahman. Right? When Krishna says sadhana, if you can't surrender, practice sadhana. He doesn't mean sadhana to the demigods or sadhana for impersonal realization. He's meaning devotional sadhana. So that means sadhana bhakti is the culture of the Brahman. Right? Getting up in the morning, taking bath, keeping clean, you know, the style how we cook, right? You know, vegetarian, no onions and garlic, you know, how we deal. All this is Brahminical culture. You go anywhere and that's how they live. There may be some variation according to, you know, place. Maybe one place they cook rice and dal, another it's sambar and rasam, another place it's chapatis, like this. That's another thing. Dress may be a little different, the border on the dhoti, this, that. But the principles are the same. So then from this we can see is that it's the principle behind something that is the most important. Why we do something. Rupa Goswami mentions this, that you have, what is the connection between something, the sambandha. Then in the Abhideya there's the actual ritual, but there's also the purpose behind the ritual. And then ultimately the goal of that ritual. So the Karmakandis, Jnanakandis, the Smartas, all these people, they understand the ritual, but they don't know the goal. And generally you'll find they never know the principle, the purpose either. So for the devotee, they must know the principle, why we do something. Then we can understand and discern between what the karmis are doing and what the devotees are doing. Because it may look the same, right? It may look the same. The karmi is respecting authority, respecting their parents, respecting others, because that is pious. It's the proper thing to do. If you want to be nice and go to the heavenly planets, if you don't do this, you'll get nowhere. Right? The devotee is doing it not because of material platform, not because, oh, the policeman, I should just, you know, from some material platform, if I don't respect him, he'll bonk me over the head. But it's the principle of authority, that Krishna is the ultimate authority, and then all his devotees coming down the parampara, das anu das anu das anu das. So that's why he follows it. So because of that, he gets a totally different result. So it may look the same as what the karmis are doing. You know, I'm talking about those who follow Vedic culture. It may look the same. You know, therefore do I say, well, why you have to follow Indian culture? It's just another culture. What's wrong? Why Indian? Why not, you know, American or English or French or, you know, culture is the same. But the Indian is the closest reflection to what is there in the spiritual realm. It is from that body that the acharyas say this is the best for us. That is where you find the Brahminical culture, that you can see how the Vaishnavas act. But you have to be very careful of the mood and the purposes behind why anything's done. So this we have to get from the acharyas. Does that make some sense? Look a little bewildered. You understand? It's not enough that you, means we see Prabhupada says, oh, people do like this. Right? They dress like this, they act like this, they eat like this. Right? Then we can see here in India that there are people who do like that. And then we see, oh, this is what Prabhupada means. This is what's going on. But now, how we'll practice that now, we may do it and it looks exactly the same as that other person, that karmi. But it'll be totally different in the mood, in the flavor, because we're doing it for Krishna. Prabhupada has told us to do like this. Well, the karmi is doing it just because it's good. My mother told me like this. My father told me if you don't do this, it's bad. You'll get a bad reaction. You know, it'll be inauspicious. That's why they're doing. They're just worried about auspicious, inauspicious. That's not. They're not worried about something else. But the devotee is doing the same thing, but for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And with that purpose of pleasing Krishna, then we advance. So some of those things are, as we mentioned, very directly involved. Some of them are not. Right? Just like chanting Hare Krishna. We can chant in any tune. But we find that if we use some of the traditional tunes, you know, that we find here in Bengal and that, very nice. Very melodious. They fit very nice. Nice mode of goodness. Like that. It was interesting. Yesterday, one devotee was trying, heard one tune and wanted to remember it, so they were playing it on the harmonium. And once they got the tune down, then they wanted to make it into chords. But they couldn't. The tune wouldn't accept chords. It was such the way it moved, you could push one chord and sing the whole thing. But you didn't have a dynamic movement of chords. It didn't lend itself. It just was too, there was too much goodness in it. So, because chords are passion. So these things we find, it fits nicely. It fits very well with the culture of Krishna consciousness, the mode of goodness. You know? So we find the lifestyle, the dress, the food, you know, the way you deal with others. It fits very nicely. Someone who wants to come to the devotional platform, it fits nicely with the mode of goodness. So anything that'll move in that. So the acharyas have dropped off anything that doesn't. And they've told us. So this is very important, is that when we take it, we're taking those things the acharyas give, and in the mood of devotional service. Then it's very easy to establish the Vedic culture. Because it's only through knowledge can you do it. If you don't have knowledge, you can't do it. Right? So through knowledge we do that. So the acharyas give us that knowledge. So in this way, we have to approach the whole thing. Understand that it's there. Like, let's take an example. The men wear dhotis, right? Because Krishna wears dhotis. In the spiritual realm, all the men wear dhotis. In the spiritual realm, the women wear saris, right? And within the spiritual realm, it's a very unique thing. Only in Vrindavan, specifically, do the women cover their heads with their cloth, with their sari. That's part of Vrindavan culture. Like that. You see in Vaikuntha, they'll wear crowns. You know, Dwarka, they'll wear crowns. Things like that. Though there will be some of the cloth is there. But Vrindavan is very specific, because they're not into so much ornament, this, that. So it enhances the culture. Like that. It enhances the culture there. Because the center of attention is the Lord. The devotees aren't. But we see in Vrindavan, Krishna reciprocates with the devotee. So the devotee becomes such a strong aspect of that reciprocation. So then the dress, how they do, enhances that so much. So I hear so many times, well, the sari we wear now is introduced by the Muslims, the covering of the head, this, that. It may be through the influence of the Muslims, it was taken back to the Vrindavan culture, so when Lord Chaitanya comes, it fits very nicely. Because yes, in South India, women don't cover their heads. Of course, they wear a 9-meter sari. It means it goes around their body so many times. You cannot see anything. Like that. So if the head sticks out, nobody cares. Right? But these North Indian saris are much shorter. Right? I think the Bengali uses a 5-meter, and the regular Bombay gift-wrapped uses 4-meter. 4, 4.5. And that, you know. So, therefore, these things may be reintroduced through so many ways. Lost in so many ways, reintroduced in so many ways. So the point is you have to know where it comes from. Because otherwise, then the idea, well, if the Muslims introduced it, then why do we have to follow it? It's Muslim. But no, Radharani does this. You want Vrindavan? Follow that culture. Why we should follow something else? Right? Radharani, when she's in the town, they cover themselves very nicely. Then when they walk from Java to Nandagaon, they're walking through the forest. So there's all it is just Radharani and her friends, the girls. No one else is around. While they're walking, they're talking, laughing. Sometimes the cloth falls off their head. They don't care. No one's there. As soon as they get to the outskirts of Nandagaon, immediately they pull the cloth up on their head, walk on the side of the road, look down at the ground, don't look at anybody. Like that. You know? So that is the culture. So this is the culture that Prabhupada's trying to give us. Unfortunately, we don't want to take it. Right? It's too refined for us. It's too subtle, too mode of goodness, too pure. Therefore, we don't feel free. But we just have to pick. We can either take the freedom of the spiritual realm or the freedom of 8,400,000 species of life. Dogs are also free. Right? I was just thinking this morning. We want to talk about, like, nowadays, it's like culture. I mean, why mess around? Just get down to business, right? And I was thinking, I know it's like birds. You get birds together. They face each other and they talk and this and that for a while and that. And then they may start some kind of other relationship. But you see dogs. The dogs come along. The two dogs, they don't mess around. They don't look at each other's nose. They immediately just go to the backside and start smelling. They don't play around, you know, down to business. They're practical, you know. No happening, you know, like that, you know. So the whole thing is we have to understand that what we're being given is something so wonderful, so sweet, so nice, but it only works that way if we use it properly, right? Means you have a knife. It can do wonderful things. It can also make a lot of trouble, depending upon how you use it. Therefore, to make trouble doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge, right? You just have to have a bad attitude. But to do something proper with a knife, you have to be trained. You have to have the right mood, the right attitude. So therefore, if we've had any difficulties with the culture that we've seen, Prabhupada gives us, refers to in the books, and we've gotten a bad taste from that, we've gotten a bad result, that means it wasn't used properly. So we shouldn't throw out the thing. We just throw out the bad usage, right? Otherwise, someone goes, takes a knife and kills people, then we can make a rule banning all knives, yes. You know, surgeons can't use knives, the housewives can't use knives. You know, you have to cook your vegetables whole now. You know, you can't cut them up. You know, I mean, unless you want to use a hammer, then you can break them up with a hammer. But then first guy that goes out kills somebody with a hammer, okay, then no hammers, you know. So, like that, one has to understand is that if we've had any problem, it's because we didn't apply it properly. If we apply it properly, we get a very nice result. So we have to study. We have to understand what is there, what is the mood, what is the purpose, what is the application, and try to see how it works. Find out from others. Find out from the authorities, find out from examples. So much you can see in India. I know myself, I've seen so much. Whatever Prabhupada has said in his books about the culture in India, I've seen it with my own eyes. There's nothing that it's like, well, I hear someone that 5,000 years ago, yeah, they used to do that. I've seen it with my own eyes. Like that, you can see it. Maybe you're not on as grand a scale. Small scale, but you can see it. Right? So like that, we have to have that faith. It means that's where we start from. Faith is the first principle, right? From faith, then association of devotees. Then we take up serious devotional service. Like this, it expands. Then we remove the doubts from our heart. See, anartha nivritti, one of the aspects is Prabhupada, I was just reading today, Prabhupada says that stage is where you're removing any doubt about Krishna. So that would be Krishna, his name, qualities, form, pastimes, his culture, the process of devotional service, devotees. So anything we have there. Anything that you have, then in relationship to Krishna, anartha nimitti means removing the doubts about that. Because otherwise one cannot become steady, one cannot become fixed. Nishta means you are fixed, your doubts are cleared. Right? We see through the Gita, Krishna, Arjuna has doubts. And then at the end he says, now I have no doubts. Now I know what to do, I'm going to serve you. That's nishta. That's fixed. So that comes when the doubts are removed. So if we find difficulty doing that, there's doubts, that's because this is that stage of anartha nivritti. But we have to understand that doubts are useful as long as you want them cleared. Like Arjuna, one might say, well, doubts aren't, you know, if I ask questions or have a doubt. No, Arjuna, the whole Gita is his doubts. And Krishna's clearing those doubts. But we see that there is pariprashnena. Right? It is gentle inquiry for the purpose of wanting to know. Pariprashna means you want to know, you have the desire to know. So with that desire, you inquire. So Arjuna inquires in a gentle, submissive way. And then he gets good answers, good result from Krishna. And then his doubts are cleared, then he's fixed in devotional service. Then it becomes very, very nice. So that the doubts are there, that's understood. We've been in the material world for unlimited amount of time, and therefore we're going to have possibly unlimited doubts. But by performing devotional service, associating with devotees, hearing, studying, practicing devotional service, those doubts will be cleared. So we should not become proud of our doubts. We should not become proud, yes, I think so much, I have so many doubts. Okay, it's a good sign that thinking is going on. Intelligence is there. But if we become proud of them, we will identify with them, we will keep them. Right? Arjuna professes the Vedic culture from the Asuric Varnashram side. Asuric Varnashram means non-God-centered. You do the ritual, but you're not, it's the goal is not to attain pure love of God. Daiva Varnashram means you do the same ritual, but for pleasing Krishna, to getting to Krishna. So he said, if we have this war, the men will be killed, the women will become unprotected, then the whole society will fall apart. And Krishna says, you're a fool. Right? And then at the end, he understands that, yes, I'm supposed to do the duty, but for Krishna. Because we see, he still fighting Kshatriya duty. Right? It's still part of the Varnashram system. He was mentioning when the Kshatriyas aren't there, then the women won't be protected. That's a Grihastha duty. Right? So it's not that Krishna is saying, oh, that's stupid and this is nice. Grihastha Dharma, you know, there's problems with it, but Kshatriya Dharma is great. No, because the Kshatriyas are also married. So the point was, is he had the wrong attitude in performing the activity. He was thinking, I am doing this, you know, it's pious. It'll be impious. People will suffer, you know, materially if we have this war. Well, if we don't, then, you know, it may go on. But Krishna's point was, is no, God consciousness is the important element. So you have to perform your activities for that. So we have to get beyond doubt. We have to become free from doubt. Krishna says, free from doubt you stand and fight, armed with knowledge. Right? You have the knowledge. The knowledge should free the doubt. If you have knowledge, read so many books, but the doubts are still there, that's also useless. The knowledge must free us from doubt. Then we can apply it, then we can get the result. Very easy. It's just a matter of, basically it comes down to doing it. But to do it, we must understand. That's the point. Okay, so we'll stop here for some questions. Yes.
You said that like when the hippies came, they knew what to do, they first surrendered and then they started sadhana. But surrender doesn't come before sadhana. Like, you know what you have to do, but absolute surrender, like, maybe there's a mystery.
Oh no, this is another thing. Absolute's another thing. Question is you're talking about the hippies in San Francisco, that they were surrendering, then they took up devotional service. So, you know, but here we mean is that Mukunda Maharaj had taught them the basic principles of the whole devotional process. Means you have, there's sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. That is the complete philosophy. The relationship with Godhead, the process of devotional service, and the ultimate result or ultimate goal of pure love of God. So they knew, Krishna is God, I am His servant, right? The material world is also for Krishna's, to be used in Krishna's service. Then the process, one should do devotional service, and of that, the most important is chanting. So that's the Abhideya. And the essence of the Prayojana is develop love for Krishna. So they are, from the beginning, understood the full aspects. Full surrender comes later, but we have to start somewhere like that. This wasn't, the hippies just naturally knew, they were taught by a devotee. It's not part of the hippie culture. Yes?
Maharaj, yesterday you mentioned that the real purpose of management means to create an atmosphere so that everyone can work according to their nature. And also you mentioned that actually there are very few brahmanas in the society. Even very few kshatriyas, most of the people are kind of shudra mentality. So, and today you were mentioning that.
The question is
if we should have a training for those shudra, because today you were mentioning that Daiva Varnashram, yeah. You know, you got the point.
Yeah.
Daiva Varnashram, we were all brahmanas. So
yeah.
If we focus all our mentality in a meaningful way, so what about those people?
Yeah. Huh, do we all? Okay, the question is that yesterday we were discussing and we brought up the point that there's very few that have the conditioned nature of a Brahmin or conditioned nature of a Kshatriya. But today we were mentioning that within the Daiva Varnashram system, anyone who surrenders to Krishna in a favorable mood as a devotee, that Vaishnav character automatically includes Brahmanism. So that means the culture and everybody within Daiva Varnashram is Brahman. So then it seems there's a contradiction. Right?
And the other question is, it is a fact that the older people are, in a sense, they're kind of shudra mentality. We should give them proper training and shudra.
Yeah, okay. So, means these will get into details of this later. Means well, tomorrow we'll start into the ashrams, and then after that we'll get into the varnas. So just in a basic, the philosophical aspect, is we have to see two aspects here. Means why there's even the discussion of varna ashram is because we have conditioned nature. See, for the uttam adhikari, or someone who's on the platform of Brahma Bhuta, who has come to the stage of bhava as a minimum, there is no need of varnashram. Right? They can act purely on the platform of the soul. They don't require all this kind of pancharatrik diksha initiation. They can just chant here, associate with the pure devotees, chant Hare Krishna, and go back to Godhead. Very easily. No problem. That's the platform of sadhana. We understand that? So now, when you drop down below that platform into the madhyam and the kanista, then you're dealing with conditioned nature. Right? You're looking for Sahotra Marsha's class?
Yeah.
That's over that side. So just trying to figure out how to get through the garden. Some steps here, but nobody notices them. Yes, so conditioned nature has to be addressed. That means we're conditioned by the body and by the mind, right? The intelligence, the ego. We're conditioned by these things For so long we've been dealing with them, we have the idea that we are these things. We think we're the mind, we're the body, we're the intelligence, we think we're all these things. So we must address that. The Uttamadhikari doesn't have to address that. They just take up devotional service, practice devotional service. They can just come to the platform of sadhana and stop right there. They don't have to come to the next other aspects. Right? Sadhana will take them. Right? And this is sadhana not necessarily as we're following. This is sadhana on a very advanced level where you only deal with the aspects of devotional service that they themselves directly give you results, transcendental results. This is called mukya. Chanting Hare Krishna is mukya. It itself can deliver you. Right? Reading Srimad Bhagavatam is mukya. It can deliver you. As we mentioned, taking 3 times bath is gona. It won't deliver you. It'll help create the situation in which you will take advantage of the mukya aspects better. Right? So for the someone who is conditioned, the mukya aspects of devotional service have to be there, but you must address gona. Gona attends to the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. Right? It deals with that. Like an adult has ego, the child doesn't. The child has to respect the adult. Otherwise, the adult gets bent out of shape. Right? So, but it also, the principle behind that, as we discussed, is the understanding of parampara and Krishna as the ultimate authority. So it has its devotional aspect. But the ego is addressed by seniors. Seniors by age, right? By wealth, by fame, by influence, by knowledge, by initiation, you know, by generation, which is also a part of age. You have to respect, right? Ability. You have to respect these things. Because someone who has those, there's every chance they have ego with that. So from their side, they're going to be dissatisfied if you don't respect. Right? So even though someone may be younger, they respect someone older because of age. Though they may be more expert or in a bigger position. Right? The man may be the prime minister of the country, but when he comes home, he deals nicely with his mother. He respects his mother. He's not the prime minister in his house when he comes home. That's just something he does at the office. Right? So that remains. If his mother goes out and he's standing there with all the other ministers and all the, you know, everything that's there with the government, then the mother has to be a little nice and stand on the side. But when she comes home, she's the boss. Right? So this aspect of the culture, that it has to be there. So the Vedic culture addresses that. Conditioned nature must be addressed. Right? We have to eat. We get hungry. Goswami said, forget about it. They don't need to eat. We need to eat. So therefore, then, we engage all those things in Krishna's service. We need to eat, therefore, we take prasad. We need to dress. Sukadeva Goswami didn't need to dress. Right? He just ran around with no clothes on. Right? But we will feel a little embarrassed, like Vyasadeva. Right? Right? Sukadeva Goswami runs by. The girls are sensitive. They know what's going on. And when he goes by, they know this guy is completely pure. They don't even bother taking bath. They don't even bother covering themselves because they know this guy couldn't care less. He doesn't see any difference between them and the tree. So they don't, you know, it's just like if girls are there bathing with no clothes on and some bird comes and flies there, they don't care. But when Vyasadeva came by, then immediately they know this man distinguishes between men and women and he knows what women are, and so they covered up. But, so because we're conditioned, we have to dress. So therefore Krishna gives us ways to dress, how we behave. We need to sleep, therefore he gives us rules of that. We don't sleep all day and stay up all night. We sleep at night, we stay up during the day. Right? If we have the need for the conditioning we need for procreation, then Krishna has arranged that. We have the Grihastha Ashram, these are the rules, how it goes on, everything's very nice. So Krishna's attended to each and every aspect of the conditioned nature. So now we have to be able to, this is an important aspect, because our philosophy is called Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. That means the Gaudiya Vaishnava has the finer brain tissue that he can understand two parallel, seeming contradictory things together and sees no contradiction. Right? Krishna is the unborn, but he's born as the son of Yashoda and Devaki. Right? He never dies, he has his pastime. He's the supreme. No one's above him, no one's equal to him. But he's driving Krishna's, Arjuna's chariot. How to see these things? Right? So those can only be answered fully in our philosophy. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Right? It's the most refined. So we have to be able to see these two things at once. So applying that to this, then what we end up with is devotee by character, by culture, by desire, in other words, goal of their life, is Brahman. Right? Because if you look, the Shudras want to become famous, the Vaishyas just want to make money and become rich and influential in this way, the Kshatriyas just want power and influence, the Brahmins want knowledge. Right? The best of those Brahmins want to serve Krishna. Right? And so that means there's a certain culture, certain activities that fit that. So the devotee automatically follows that culture, has those goals. So they're Brahman. Right? They're Brahman on that level. But we also have a conditioned nature. So the conditioned nature may be Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So you have Brahman with the Brahman's conditioning. Brahman with a Kshatriya's conditioning. Brahman with a Vaishya's conditioning. Brahman with a Shudra's conditioning. Therefore, when we talk about varnas, it's what you do between the morning program and the evening program. Right? When we talk about ashrams, it's what you do between the morning program and the evening program. You know? Or at night. Right? The morning program, we're devotees. Evening program, we're devotees. But now, according to ability, someone is going to be better situated doing the puja, doing the management, doing business, doing whatever is necessary. And according like that, according to our interest, according to our taste, we do. So that culture is there. That Brahminical culture is there. That is what goes throughout. You know? Because if anybody has interest, then in the GBC deity worship books, those two orange books, the two-volume books, in the first volume, if you read the first chapter, and I think it's the last chapter, those deal with the actual, basically, the culture and activities of a Brahmin. How you get up, take your bath, put your tilak, the neck beads, the sika, you know, combing the hair and Gayatri and all these things, and then how you study, deal with guests, deal with other devotees, take prasad, serve prasad, worship Tulsi, live in the Dham, respect the Shastras, study the Shastras, distribute the Shastras. So these are all, and if you think of that, well, that's what we all do, what's so special. But that's Brahminical culture. That's what Prabhupada's given us. So this is where that dilemma comes. So as I mentioned, if you understand Daivavarnashram, you can work it out. Because it's very easy. But if you want to look at it from its base principle of Asuric Varnashram, then yes, we can say you have to go back some hundreds of years, if not thousands, before you can make it function properly. Because a king is not just a guy with a big crown and a big sword and a big fancy beard. A king is a mood. If we read in the Bhagavatam about Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, all these great kings, Priyavrata. We don't hear any talk about, yes, he was such a great king because he had such a fancy beard, he had such a nice turban, you know, his shoes had curly points on them. No, it talks about the qualities that they had. That makes a Kshatriya. That makes a Brahman. So the devotee has those qualities. Right? Has these Brahminical devotional qualities. Of course, as we begin devotional service, we may have less. So that along with developing the devotional, the Vaishnav character, also the Brahminical character will come along with it. So that is there also. It's not just the first day you start, then you're the Pakka first class Brahman. That also develops as our devotional mood develops. So we have to see these two. Then you can apply Daivavarnashram, because it's what you do during the day. What service? Big deal. You do it now, this, as we become purified, another aspect of nature comes up. You know, like that. Because it's the modes. You take the mode of ignorance, that gives certain activities, qualities, right? Means, and then you have within the mode of ignorance, it's never pure, as we say, it's 3 times 3. So you get 9. So even you take that, you take, let's say you take predominant ignorance, right? You take a service. Now, if we put ignorance with goodness, strongest portion of the balance is going to be goodness, then we will see arts that use the intelligence a lot, you know? Like that. Or if you want to take the, it is as intelligence is springing from passion, then it'll have that. And you see all the technical kind of arts come out. And that's one kind of head. If you have where mind is more important, then you'll get into the fine arts. Then if it's mind with body, then you get into skilled trades. Right? And then you don't really need the mind, then you get unskilled. So it's just a matter of what modes are prominent in our conditioning, where we will feel very nicely situated. And as we become purified, those things may go away. Or become purified where we want to act nicely for Krishna, do nice dramas for Krishna, do nice music for Krishna, or draw nice buildings for Krishna. Or like that, or it may just become purified, mode of ignorance goes, mode of passion comes up more, mode of goodness, like that. You find yourself going through all the varnas. Or we may just find ourselves purifying more and more just what nature we are nicely situated in. So it doesn't matter. Does that answer your question? Training of this, basically the main training, as we can see, is the philosophy. If we understand the philosophy, then it comes very easy. Then practical training is there. Then that is, you can set up so many ways. We have some kind of education is there. That we see many devotees are discussing and all that. That's the easier part. It may take a long time. Just like if you want to learn, let's say, carpentry, it may take you many years. But the philosophy behind that is the thing that has to be understood. You understand? Means how to situate ourselves properly in service to Krishna. That is the difficult thing. Learning the carpentry, I mean, there's millions of people who have learned that. But they're not becoming devotees. So the devotional side, the philosophy, that's the difficult thing. To train someone in that understanding. And especially in training those who are going to train others in the concepts. Means you train somebody in carpentry, then they can train the next person. That's not the difficult aspect, what I mean of that. The difficult thing is training those who can help others identify their nature, engage themselves in nature, and create the facilities for that nature. That's the difficult. That can be done. Is that understood? Yes?
Mm.
Okay. See, the question is about the reflection and the mood and how to shift from one to the other, from the material paradigm to the spiritual. An important aspect of this is that in the spiritual realm, see, the whole thing is based on attachment. See, the crux of everything is attachment. Prabhupada said, just like love has turned into lust, so we have to turn the lust back into love. So this love and lust is attachment. In the spiritual world, it's attachment to Krishna, it manifests as love. In the material world, it's lust, it's attachment to the material energy. So what has happened is our attachment has shifted. So in the spiritual realm, they have love for Krishna that manifests their particular relationship with Krishna. Understand? You have love for Krishna as a child. Therefore, you manifest the form of an elder gopi or an elder cowherd man. Right? Isn't it? Means if you have a parental rasa with Krishna, there's no use being in a tree body. Right? You want to be in a gopi's body. You can feed Krishna, you can, you know, do so many things. If your love for Krishna is as a friend, then is as equal-aged boys. If it is as a lover, then as the young gopis. So that's their attachment. Is it? Yam kama krodha sahaja pranayari bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaur avasevya bhavai. According to their mood, they manifest that form. So now, their mood is first, then they manifest the form. Unfortunately, here, we have the mood of attachment. So then, therefore, we go around by the modes of nature doing everything. So, if we want to change that, what we have to do is understand that we have to change this lust back into love. So we don't have that love. If we have the love, then, if by surrendering, then automatically you get the spiritual form and all that, it works. You don't have to worry about it. But if we don't have that, we have to try to change that. So the process is sadhana. The sadhana bhakti, that's the process. How we can shift the paradigm. So that means, in the beginning, we follow the form of devotional service. We offer the artik, we chant Hare Krishna, we dance in the kirtan, we take prasad. But we don't actually have attachment for these things. But we follow the form of it, and we cultivate the knowledge of that. So then by practicing that in knowledge, then we get realization. Right? Then as we get that realization, then slowly, slowly the lust starts turning into love. The attachment for matter starts turning into attachment for Krishna. You understand? It slowly, slowly starts. So therefore, there they start with the mood first, then they get the form. Here we start with the form first, and that will develop the mood. But only if you have the knowledge and the insincere desire to understand. Like that. And that knowledge means to that degree that we can understand. We don't have to be big, big Sanskrit pundits. It means if we just have a little bit of knowledge, just like the example is given of the when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, and there was that Brahmin there, and that Brahmin was reading, everyone was telling him, well, you're a Brahmin, you know, you don't even know Gita. You know, you're not reading Gita and this and that. So they were criticizing. So he didn't know how to read. So he said, okay, well, they say I'm a Brahmin, I'm supposed to read this. So he was sitting down with the Bhagavad Gita upside down, and he was, you know, crying, sitting there and, you know, trying to do whatever's supposed to be done. So then Lord Chaitanya came and said, you know, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm reading Gita. You know, he says, well, you know how to read? He says, no. So how do you understand? You know, like that. He says, you're crying, so it must mean you're understanding something. What are you crying about? And then he mentioned that he was the love that Krishna has for his devotees, that he's willing to come as his servant, as the charioteer of Arjuna. So just thinking of that was bringing tears to his eyes. So then Lord Chaitanya then embraced him, said, now you actually understand Gita. Said, all these other pundits don't. You are the real pundit of Gita. So he just had that little bit of knowledge, but he had full realization on that. So it's not how vast it is. It's the quality of what you have. So we read, we serve, whatever our capacity. But if we have that sincere desire, then we'll get that good result. You understand? So that shift of the paradigm means we practice sadhana bhakti. That's what's called buddhi yoga. The yoga of intelligence. In the beginning we do it because we know it's good for us. Right? And we have faith. We've heard, intellectually we heard, we're convinced. We do it. And then by doing it, then we get realization, we actually understand it. So if we follow it, then with time that mood and all that will catch up. Then when that mood develops, then we will find and then we will develop our spiritual situation. Understand? Like that. So that's how is the shift. Like that. Yes.
You said that anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya vartana. There are certain aspects of Western culture which are anukul.
Yes. I mean, the question is there more to it or just that? You have more than that, or that was your question? Okay. Question is that if something's favorable, you accept it. If something's unfavorable, you reject it. So then if there's favorable things in the Western environment, why not accept it? Yes. The yukta vairagya means we engage anything in Krishna's service. But if we notice, it says anything. We have our culture. Nothing is superior to this culture. We can engage anything. This is important. We already have our music. There's nothing better than that. So we don't need to take that music. We already have our dress. We don't need to take that. So that's not ours. Maybe for the situation, because you have to deal in an atmosphere where you may, as a devotee, may not be able to preach. So therefore you may wear karmic clothes. You may do different things like that. People can relate to it. You can get your preaching done. But that is how we preach, how we do. But that's not our culture. When we come back to the temple, we come back to our house, we follow our own culture. You understand? Just like you have business, right? You have so many businessmen there of so many different religious bends. You have a Muslim, you have a Jew, you have Christian, you have this, that. When they go and do business, business is business. But when they go back to the house, they have their own culture, their own eating style, dressing style, everything, and they do that there. So we can engage anything in Krishna's service. But that doesn't mean we leave our own culture. Right? Why you'll give up? That's what Dhruva Maharaj said. I was looking for broken glass, pieces of broken glass, and now you've given me a valuable gem. Right? If people are moving around in the, you know, it's like people are into mangoes and they're looking in the mangoes in the water on the tree and they want one of those, and then you come along with a real mango and you say, yeah, here, I got one of these. You know, and then they'll take that. So they want to read books, we come with our books. They want to eat, we come with our prasadam. You know, they want to sing and dance, we come with kirtan. So they think it's shadow. They don't know that it's substance. Right? So we trick them in that way. But we don't fall to the level where we deal with the shadow. You understand? If we are comfortable in that, then we understand that, okay, we can do that. Just like we may prefer Krishnized Western music. That says something to it. It speaks to us. Right? But that's okay. Because it's about Krishna. But we must understand is we still have a lot of dirt in our heart. Otherwise it wouldn't be attractive. Right? I mean, no one's much more materialistic than Indra. Right? Very materialistic. But he doesn't listen to that kind of music. So it is a music for a particular time and place, for particular modes. Right? So that's all. So we may have it, so we listen. and we'll become purified. But we must understand, we must not get attached to it. We become attached to that it's about Krishna. That's what we get attached to. But if we get attached to the form of that music, then we'll have to again and again come back and take birth here. Because they don't play that music in Vrindavan. So if you go to Vrindavan, you won't be happy because they don't have the kind of music that speaks to you. You understand? You know, there they play Veenas and sing nice Drupad and all that kind of, you won't like it. You know? No, it's about Krishna, but you know, it doesn't move you, you know? So you're gonna have to remain here to taste that. Just like as we mentioned yesterday, husband and wife. Natural attachment is there because of service and doing things together and all that. But the attachment's not for the body. In the beginning it may be. You know, the man is thinking my wife is very beautiful, the wife is thinking husband is very attractive, like this. But ultimately they realize what's the attractiveness is they're devotees and they're cooperating together to do service. So then all the bodily things drop off and that remains, and then that can be expanded to everybody. Anybody else who they can work with and do, then they can become attached. Right? In the beginning, I'm attached to nobody. I can become attached to wife, kids, this and that. But with time, we see that that's not actually the basis of attachment. Attachment is spiritual. That's where real attachment. The other attachment is not attachment, it's lust. Right? Because we think, oh, if the wife is very beautiful, I will enjoy. Right? She looks nice, you know, all these things. So that's lust. But we're trying to turn that lust back into love. So the attachment is there, but we have to change the attachment so the quality of attachment changes. So the attachment's not on the bodily platform. The attachment is as devotees, so it's on the spiritual platform. You know? So it'll first be physical, then emotional, then it'll come to that platform. But we have to see that goal. It means without goal, you can't get there. So if our goal is to become Krishna conscious, all right, I like this music now, I listen to it. My goal is to become attached to Krishna. Then the important thing will be the words this, that. And then after a while we'll see this doesn't really please us. Because the reason that music was made was not for devotees, it was made for preaching, for the karmis, whatever it is, this and that. It wasn't meant for devotees. Devotees, because of conditioning, like to listen to it. It wasn't actually meant for them. What Prabhupada sings, that's meant for devotees. You know, that's real music. Like that.
One more thing. You said that activity is not the important thing, but the motive behind the activity is important. But the Pancharatri principles, Pancharatri belief, is just force of conduct. Just by performance. Even once Prabhupada says, even a rat was jumping around the altar and it just caught fire.
That's devotional service. That's not the ritual. See, if the, the question is that by performing, I mentioned that performing the activity isn't important, it's the mood behind it. So that Prabhupada mentioned in the Pancharatra so many rules, and then you have the example of the rat. Its whiskers caught on fire, and by doing that, then the lamp was relit. And then the rat went back to Godhead. Huh? So then, I think the rat died because, you know, he caught on fire, but he went back to Godhead. So, point is it's not because the rat's whiskers caught on fire, or that he just lit a lamp. It was the deity's lamp. So it was devotional service. But that's why the rat only got to Vaikuntha. That rat will never get to Vrindavan. You understand? So if you want to get to Vrindavan, you got to know what's going on. Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj,
come back.
You say that we have our own culture, our own dressing, our own food, like that. But we live in a country like Sweden. Other places where it's very cold, where we have to import the food from India so that we can eat Vedic, and it seems like in practical that these certain aspects of our of the Vedic culture are really related very much to the Indian environment.
Yeah, human environment.
Yeah, like because it depends. This press, for example, if I wear this dress in winter and go out distributing books, it's just too cold. I cannot.
No, I talked about in your house.
Huh?
I talked about in your house, in the house, in the temple.
Oh yeah. So what about like in Vedic time? There was the Vedic culture all over the world, but there were still differences in and this is a question in dressing, in the food, because different climate, different vegetables, different things grow. Mm. Now we import everything from India, but now because we have these modern ways of doing it, it's very easy, but now this will be not always like that. So can you say something about that?
Yeah. So the we all heard the question?
Mm-hmm.
So basically is there's a few aspects of it. One is that the Vedic culture means there were those who are means everyone was accepting the supremacy of the Vedic culture and the Aryan kings or the emperors who were sitting in Bharatvarsha. Then they would be following this various degrees depending upon their nature. Because basically once we kind of like cross Afghanistan and Nepal and like Manipur, then things start getting, you know, means the culture basically is there. Like you can go anywhere in Asia, there's a basic similar principle of culture there. They're very personal, how they deal, their spacing, you know, the moods are very, very similar, like that. But just their habits of what they eat. And, you know, in other words, the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending kind of like take on various moods. So the Vedic culture was there all over the world because they accepted it, they supported it, but they may have more or less sinful activities. Because as you get farther out, I think in the Shastra it mentions, you know, human life is, you know, generally should stay. Means unless you're doing tapasya, but normal, you know, the society should stay within. I think it's the region. It's either that coconut trees grow or banana trees. I forget which it is. So there is kind of like a belt that is more ideal, and when you cross beyond that, then life gets more difficult. And we generally see that those who were willing to cross beyond that were quite, how you say, unique and enthusiastic in their own ways. Just like you mentioned, like up Sweden and all that, means the Celts and all that wouldn't go up that far. But the Vikings would. Now, if you look at the Vikings' nature, they were not like very, you know, peaceful, agrarian. They had, you know, different values. They were willing to go out, take their battle axes, cut off anybody's head, steal everything they have, and then take it back to where they lived. So if you have those mentalities, then you can live farther and farther away from, you know, ideal situation for human life. You know, you go farther. Eskimos, you know, they're willing to eat whatever's around up there and live in an ice box, you know. So it's just that mood is there. So now due to, you know, the situations, we may find ourselves there, you know. And all these different, because in the Bhagavatam it mentions that it doesn't matter who they are. Like it mentions the all those 12 tribes. It mentions one of them. It's interesting in one other area. Sometimes Sabara, if it's in India, it seems to have two translations. Sabaras in India are swineherds. They take care of pigs. But outside India, Sabaras are Siberians. Like that. We just came across, I think it's in Dhruva Maharaj. There, when the sabara is used, it means Siberians, like that. So I think it was Arjuna went up through Siberia in that area for collecting wealth and all that. It says he went to the plateaus beyond the Himalayas. So he went up that side. So they may have... So we follow as much as possible, but according to our values, we're going to live. I'll give an example. Let us say we value like Brahminical cleanliness, standards of cleanliness. You know, like after eating, after using the toilet, we're going to wash our hands properly, wash our feet, you know, these kind of things. Then to do that, that would mean we would naturally have to heat the house, right? Because otherwise it's really hard, you know, wearing boots and that around the house to maintain standards of cleanliness. So if you have that value, you would put your money into heat, right? And if the place is warm, then you can live like you can live here. It doesn't take that much to be. I mean, we're following here. What is it? It's in the 20s. I mean, I've seen it myself. I was on the German farm, and it was, you know, 0 degrees outside, 2 degrees outside. But inside the room, I had one of those oil heaters, and it was 22, 23 degrees. And whatever devotees would walk in the door would immediately think they walked into India. They'd have to take off all their jackets and coats and everything like that. So, like that, I can just dress like this, walk around, I don't have to wear shoes and this and that, and I can live the same culture I live here. So, that's my values. I would put money into heat rather than clothes, right? To buy all the clothes you need to live outside and inside if it's not very warm is a lot of money. I myself would put it into heat. Then I'd live that culture. You know? Means you can put down a wall-to-wall rug. It works. But then if you want to serve prasad, it's a little difficult because the rug's on the floor. It'll get dirty. So you can't maintain the standards. For the same price or cheaper, you can buy first-class Persian rugs. They're wool. They're pure. If you want to have a big thing, you can roll them up. You know? You can do so many things with them. They're more attractive. I mean, unless you get into really big bucks, the Western carpets aren't so attractive. Right? So those look very nice. People come to your house and they think that it's got some culture, some atmosphere. Right? For the same price that, you know, all this kind of Western furniture, you can make nice, you know, big pillows with silk coverings, and you could even use probably Banarsi silk saris to cover them with, and it'd be cheaper than buying a sofa set, which after a few years is going to go bad and it's going to go out of fashion anyway. But you make your house in such a way that it's high-class Indian stuff, it's preaching. Plus, you can live your own culture and it won't cost as much. So it's just a matter of what you value, just where you put your energy. When you go outside, of course, you have to deal with the elements. You have to have on your boots and your hats and your coats and all that. But in your own house, you live how you like to live. And when you're outside, then you live according to the situation. Like that. So if it's cold, you have to wear warm clothes. Does that make any sense? So like that, depending upon what you value, is what you're going to do. So values come from realization. So if we realize the superiority of the Vedic culture, then that will be our values, that's how we'll live. You know? Is that okay? Something.
Yes, something.
Because this gets down into application, so it can be, you can go on and on and on about that. Okay. Yes.
About reflection, and we find that in the spiritual world, Sanatan Dharma, material world, the reflection of that is Varnashram.
Yeah.
And also within the spiritual world, we find different personalities, great devotees, that they relate with Krishna in certain ways. In the material world, we find maybe the same devotees, but they relate with Krishna. Even though they continue being pure devotees, they relate to Krishna with other identities. For example, in the spiritual world, they are both.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Young.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the material world, they are brahmanas or
yeah, yeah.
sudras or
yeah.
they work the fields. Or
yeah. Okay. Question is that we're talking about the reflection. So then we have in the spiritual realm, we have a devotee who's doing a service there. But when they come here, you know, and act in the reflection, they don't act according to that. He gave the example of you may have gopis and the manjaris and that. When they come here, they're not girls. They take on the form of, you know, Brahmins or other men and do so many services. So how does that work? We're just talking about, because one is you're talking about when they come here, they're two things. They're reality. They're not reflection. Second thing is the Lord's pastimes are there. So Lord's pastimes are there in the spiritual realm, and the Lord comes here to perform pastimes. So they come to take part in those pastimes. So now, specifically, why they come in this way? Because you have to look at it two ways. As Mother Yashoda there comes as Satchimata here. You know? Mother Yashoda there comes as Mother Yashoda here in Krishna. Like this. But we have a special, unique feature, because what you mentioned basically applies to Lord Chaitanya, is in the purport to, I think it's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Then Prabhupada points out that Krishna in the Gita says, as you surrender, he'll reciprocate. So Advaitacharya, he's Mahavishnu, he can deliver the whole world. What's the problem? But he has made that statement in the Gita, that promise that as you surrender, I will reciprocate. But in Kali Yuga, no one reciprocates. They couldn't care less about Mahavishnu. So therefore, he says, I can do nothing. It's not that I can't save, that people are so sinful in Kali Yuga, I can't save them. What is the meaning? One holy name chanted purely can destroy all the sin of the universe. So, I mean, why the Lord himself cannot do. If his name can do, why he can't do? So what it means is he's made that promise that if, as you surrender, I will reciprocate. So therefore he said, only Lord Chaitanya, he can save them. Now why Lord Chaitanya? Because to be delivered, you must be delivered by Krishna. He is Mukunda. Right? The devotees, by them being pleased, they recommend to Krishna, Krishna delivers you. Right? Right? Prabhupada says, the devotee is so nice, and then Radharani will say, this is such a nice devotee, and then Krishna will be so pleased that he will deliver that devotee. Right? So at the recommendation of the devotee, Krishna will... Krishna is the one who has to deliver you. But Krishna's made this statement. Right? But now the devotees haven't made that statement. Prabhupada also points out that the devotees are more merciful than the Lord, because the Lord will give you. You want to be a pig. Krishna will come along as Lord in the heart and let you be a pig. But the devotee won't let that. We see Narad Muni, Indra was a pig. Narad didn't allow that. He came down and said, listen, this is nonsense. You're supposed to be back up there doing your service. So the devotee will come and tell, no, this is wrong. Right? Krishna says, surrender first, then we talk. The devotees is, do something, take some prasad, chant this, that, we'll talk about surrender later. Right? So Lord Chaitanya has taken the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is the embodiment of Krishna's compassionate nature. Right? So when he's taken her mood, there's no one that can't be delivered. Because now he takes the mood of Radharani, not the mood of Krishna. But because he is Krishna, he can deliver. You understand? So therefore, in the pastimes there, in the Chaitanya Lila, in Navadvipa, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, they would come as their, you know, they would do the same kind of service. Right? They would do the same kind of activities. They may have different forms, but the activity is the same, because it matches the Lila that's there. Right? Because Krishna has also come as in that mood of Radharani. But when we have the Sankirtan mission that continues afterwards, after the disappearance, after his pastimes are not manifest, so that we can see them, then, you know, at least easily, then we see that all those who are coming, they are assistants means Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani. They are the assistants of Radharani. So it's very natural. They assist Radharani there, they assist here. Because Krishna is taking Radharani's mood, therefore they've come to assist. You understand that?
Yeah. And, for example, different sages, they were gopis, but at the same time, or mandaris, but at the same time, different sages, they were parrots, like Shukadev, Goswami.
Yeah, yeah.
There were many other things. That
yeah, but Shukadev was Radharani's parrot. So it means everything of Radharani's comes to help in the Sapkatan mission. So her own parrot comes to speak the Bhagavatam, right? Means her parrot may not be the one that's speaking every time Bhagavatam, but this one, right? Because the other 999 Kali Yugas, when the Bhagavatam is spoken there to Parikit Maharaj by Sukadev, then in there, you're not dealing with Swayam Krishna. You'll be dealing with a Vaikuntha Murti. The doors of Vaikuntha are open. The doors of Goloka are not open. Therefore, we see that Parikit is not necessarily manifesting the mood of a Paramahamsa. Like in the Mahabharata rendition, that's not this Kali Yuga. That's a different one. The Bhagavatam is this Kali Yuga. So there you see that Parikit acts as a king. So when he hears that Takshaka will come and bite him, he builds a palace. Right? You understand? So like that, these different... So in the Sankirtan mission, then those from Vrindavan are coming and taking part. And all they're doing is asking, you just spend a little time this lifetime doing what you can to push on this mission. And in return for that, they're giving you an eternal spot in Golok Vrindavan. You know? That's all they're asking. And they're asking a whole lot. But somehow or other we get caught up in so many other things. But that's all they're asking. Just do something for this Sankirtan mission in some way, whatever your capacity. And if you're sincere, try your best, they take you. It's such an offer. That's why it said, never before has this been offered. Right? The most unqualified people are in Kali Yuga. They're being given the platform to go to the topmost realm of Vrindavan. Right? Other ages, all that's being offered is Vaikuntha. Right? We even see only once in a day of Brahma. Right? So that means that there's 1,000 of these cycles in a day of the four yugas in one day. Now, in Satya and Treta, those are all still also working on the Vaikuntha platform. So it's only in Dwapara and Kali that you get this opportunity. So that means 999 and a half yugas as Vaikuntha. And only half of one yuga, half of one Divya Yuga, that is given for Vrindavan. Right? So it's so rare. You know? And they're not asking us to become big, big tyagis and yogis or pundits. They're just saying, just establish yourself in devotional service. Become fixed in devotional service. Do what you can according to your ability and nature for the Sankirtan mission. And with that sincere mood, you'll go back to Godhead. So it's actually very simple. I think maybe we should... I mean, if nobody has another seminar to go to or something, we can continue. Otherwise, we can stop.
I have a kind of practical question.
Okay, last, and then we'll stop. What is this?
Suppose we have a team of missionaries. We go with the Sankirtan movement to the, let's say, to the jungle in the Amazons. And they have their own culture there. For example, they eat meat, they live from the river because...
I think this one would be a long...
Much agriculture.
Maybe better to bring this up tomorrow. Oh, well, it's not so much. It means means you can go there, and it's not that you have to follow there. You can invite them into our culture. Question was, as you go to the Amazon, and you're going and preach to some Aborigine tribals there, and they have their own interesting lifestyle and diets and everything. But to impress them, you don't have to follow their culture. You come with ours. You take prasadam there. They eat prasadam. You know, like that. You get them to chant. Means that level, Prabhupada says, when they can't understand the philosophy, you give them prasadam and get them to chant Hare Krishna. So chant, dance, take prasad. That's the essence. They'll advance. And then they'll get the intelligence. They'll be able to come up. You know?
So how many things of... You said that the principle is what is the most important or the purpose behind it. So... But also, I heard from another source that the difference between something good and something perfect is details.
Yeah.
So the principle is the basis, the essence. But the whole culture that we have,
yes,
is also full of details.
Yeah, the details is how you apply it. But if you don't know the principle, you'll never be able to perfect the details. See, the problem is here, a foundation of the house is down, the building is up. So therefore, you see that as important. No one thinks it is. But when we're talking about Shabda, it comes down. So the principles, the foundations are up. Like you see the tree in the water, its root is up, not down. Right? So therefore, the principles are up. They're the big thing, the important thing. And then details come down to the time and circumstance. So they're important. Like that. There's a saying in English, God is in the detail. Right? But if you don't have the principle right, even though you have the detail right, you're still wrong. But if you have the principle right, even though you don't get the detail right, because you know what you're trying to get, you know your goal, you will get it right by Krishna's grace. You understand? Otherwise, I get it right today, and then after 10 years when it's different. Just like devotees will say, how Prabhupada applied the principle, you know, 30 years ago, they're trying, the detail of that, they're trying to apply that today, the detail, without understanding the principle. And they'll say, well, Prabhupada did it. Yes, if you have that situation, you do that. You have a temple full of hippies who don't know what's going on, then Prabhupada stands in line to get to the bathroom along with them. So, do we do that now today? You know? No. Like that. Prabhupada's principle was somehow or another engage them in Krishna's service. Train them. But as soon as they understood what was the higher culture, they followed that. You understand? So one has to understand the principle. That's the essential element. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So tomorrow we'll start going into the actual varnas and ashrams. You know, understanding the moods of them, the natures of them, how they work, how to understand kind of like what is one's situation, you know, and how and what is the goal and purpose of that. That will be, we'll start tomorrow. Nice picture.
Yeah. From Maya Griva.
Oh, really?
Really? It was not easy to get them. I mean, we tried to make to put something, because in the, you know, like you said, the principle, the details. If you just go to the details, you cannot even preach in the West. But with the principle, then
yeah. Because principles, everybody basically understands.
Yes.
You know, you say the priest, and we're doing this and that. Like, I've done a few weddings and all that, and the rest, we do all our rituals, and they appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you give the translations and everything like that.
Yeah. the,
you know, it's nice about the good use of the word Vedic, because otherwise they can use it so badly. Sometimes talking about Vedic, this, that, and then they say, well, we only do what Prabhupada does. You know, but Prabhupada's taken what out of the Vedic culture, what is the essence that he wants us to follow. And he calls that Vedic culture. So if we use the same term, then, you know, we don't need to get all, how you say, you know, proud of ourselves that, well, you know, Prabhupada, you know, like that. Because they come to India, they see the rickshaw wallahs, the taxi drivers, the dirt, this, that, and they will think, well, that's India, that's Vedic. But it's, that's not, you know. It means it's the culture that's being followed, and you have to know what to look for to find it. You know? It's just like you may say, there's a lot of wealth in New York, and you come in and you just see some cars and some buildings and this and that. Well, where's the money? I don't see any money laying around here, you know, like that. But it's you have to know where to look and go and get it. It's very, very good at explaining that.
I mean, we did in the best that try to make, you know, because Sakrasadi Pika, who can use it as a Grihastha himself? Maybe some priest, maybe
means,
yourself.
Means those who are trained in the like full Brahminical rituals can use it. Means that book is going to become more useful as time goes.
Yeah.
When the second, third generations are. But as long as first generations is the prominent one.
Exactly.
It's so rare to find anyone who can even, they can figure out what's going on.
Because, you know, for even in our time, it looks like sometimes woody or stuff, like little woody, you know, like really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I explained the whole thing.
Especially on the samskar, not on the yajna itself, but when you come to point of samskar, executing the samskar as they are.
Well, you have
at
to get
time of Gopal Bhatt Goswami.
Yeah.
Like with Banu Maharaj also, we were thinking, who is going to do that right now?
No, but we're doing it.
No, but on samskar, let's say you want Pungsavana, you know, obtaining a child, you know, how in Germany you're going to get, you know, they use special flowers, you know, that they crush, you know, put it on milk and they have, you know, things and put them in the nose of the lady, you know, it's a mantra, I mean, you know, where are you going to get that?
You have to get them from India. That's why we say you live within that realm that the coconut trees grow, and that's...
Well, we thought that you go to the deity and pray for a son.
Yeah, that's even.
That's
well, that's on the that's the platform.
That was
sadhana.
Exactly, you know, that was the most. We are more strict on that, following more the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam ideas. Yeah. That.
Means the Sakriyasara is supposed to be presented with those understandings.
Exactly. So that's
like
the
that.
Thing. So
yeah.
Our research we are more on that. You know, what Srimad Bhagavatam or. You know, Gargasamita, you know, what is really speaking about Krishna, because Krishna followed the samskara. So
oh,
how
yeah.
they were following. That was, like you mentioned in your scripture, this is the Vrindavan culture, you know.
One also has to be a little careful on this one, on the Upanayanam, because Upanayanam is Vedic Diksha, while what we do is Pancharatra.
Exactly, exactly. We mentioned all that with Banu Swami.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because important thing, main, means
we
you can use every,
Upanayana.
Means you can do the whole
Mantra Diksha or Krishna, Krishna Mantra.
Because otherwise devotees get into it too crazy.
No, that's
stuff.
Why, you see, it's...
means Upanayanam, we use it. Upanayanam means to bring near.
Yeah, exactly. So Diksha, but here we put...
Harinam and Vaishnav Mantra Diksha.
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah, it's important. We can use everything out of it, the full ritual of the Upanayanam ceremony, except for some of the things, deer skin and this and that. But main thing is what has to be careful is on the fire, because we'll use, for the Pancharatrika, we'll use Vaishnava Agni.
Yeah, yeah.
While for the Upanayanam, you have to use that, what is his name? Samudbhava.
Samudbhava.
Because that's just for the Brahmachari, for the Brahma Gayatri.
Yeah.
But if you, for the other Gayatris, Vaishnav Agni is the fire.
Yeah.
So the Vaishnav Agni can do the work of that. So when we give both at once, we just use Vaishnav Agni. And like we do for the kids, we just use the Samud Bhava. Like that, when we do only Upanayana. Like that. But in the other. But other than that, then it's you can use the whole thing. You know? I mean the whole how you make the fire, do everything like that. It's very got into the Antyeshti. We found a whole thing on this Antyeshti from the where did we find it? I don't remember. But it's a Gaudiya Mat publication,
yeah,
of
exactly.
Their thing. Like that. That's what you used?
No, I didn't.
Because that gets into a full thing, so that won't be important for devotees. For devotees, you can use very simple, you know. But if you're dealing with Hindus outside and that, and they expect a little bit more.
No, that we do. We deal with that. Sorry, Maharaj. We deal with that, but that's not really the things that we, for example, in the West, we're going to use. Because first of all, people, you know, it's not a completely different culture. If you want to burn your own body there, forget it. It's impossible. Yeah.
No. But you do it at the crematorium.
Yeah, exactly.
Because so actually, most of the stuff is all before that. Exactly. You can do that all in the house, then just take them there, burn them.
Yeah.
But the Hindus expect some certain
for Hindu
ritual.
Yes.
So you put that kind of stuff in.
I put that thing. So what do we in the because when you have a little experience of these things, if you can apply.
This is a good one.
Adhika.
Yeah, very good.
I thought it was necessary to put.
Yeah. Very good. Also, this thing on the dakshin, you know, here. Oh, that's dowry. That's not a dakshin. You explain about dakshin.
I explain. Yeah.
Because otherwise,
it's
take
two different things. I was with Sarva Bhavana, who was quite a good.
Oh, yeah, good. But
he's born in the SOESO.
So. Don't crack the mat. You can sit on it, but don't bend it.
What we for the dakshin, what we did is that actually the priest pre-arranged something beforehand, and then after, you know, that is something like you know, like nowadays you will have to go to Germany from France, or they pay, you know, your trip, everything, and at the end, dakshin means they can give you, some sari for your wife and dhoti for you, some, you know, money, some food, another thing. Like, they appreciate very much.
But they at least have to play to get you there. I've had people, we'll give you, you know, this much, you know, you go there, and then you spent all the money, get there, this and that, and then they give you that, and they expect that's going to cover everything.
Yeah, that's where we put that on.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's another thing. So it means there's a part for Grihasthas, and then after a part we took back for the priest who is going to do the things. Or it can be even the father.
Oh, so this is not the samskara, this is just the explanation of it.
The first, explanation for Grihasthas.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
First, the base of the samskara, where the, you know, we develop it like little Jiva Goswami developed his Tadvasandarbha, you know, explaining about all the different Vedic literature to come up to the Srimad Bhagavatam as being the ultimate reference for the Vaishnava, and then build up all the samskaras on that, on the Bhagavatam. So first we explain for the Grihasthas, you know, about all the different things, when, where, you know, all these things. Mm. Not with the mantras, like this, they don't get confused, you know, like this, it's, you know, just
what's going on.
Like for marriage ceremony, what it means, marriage, psychology of the couple, how to solve some conjugal problems, you know, according to what we got in Vedas, or also modern, maybe a little bit psychoanalysis, and, you know, these things are there, you know, so we put that. This is just like Garbhama Sanskar also. That the main Sanskar with the Diksha also. We explain the Kriyavati method that we are always using. All these things, that is just no mantras. And then after the last part is mostly for the priest, where with the mantras and add more information, even if, for example, the father wants to do it himself, and step by step how to conduct the things. You know, and try to divide a little bit. Because otherwise, the Grihastha, if they see everything and mantras everywhere, it's like,
it's too
difficult.
Much.
It's too much.
Or even the mantras get them. You see one page of Achma.
Exactly, you know. So that.
One thing I sometimes do for fun, I would say. I was saying, you want to have some fun sometimes. Like someone says, oh, so much ritual. Then what you do is get a, you know, type out a full thing, lay it out in the full, like, you know, how you would do something here, showing your ritual or something like that, is how to greet somebody and shake their hand. You could take up a couple of pages, right?
Yeah.
Means you come, you see the person, you make eye contact, depending upon how much you know them, or how friendly, or what's the relationship, then you will show more with the eyes, with the smile. You might say, you might say, you know, have some words, phrases you can say, you know, Hari Bol or Jai or, you know, something like that. Or, long time we haven't seen you, or, you know, whatever is the culture of the thing. Then you'll come together, and then, you know, the hand extended with of the right hand with fingers together, thumb slightly extended at a vertical thing. Then you'll reach it out and at a slight downward angle to meet the angle of their hand. Then you will, you know, get the hands
to explain,
and then hold. Then a few times you'll move it in upwards and downwards thing like this, depending upon. Then some alternatives on this is if the person is very close, you may even take your left hand and also grasp like that. And then another alternative is it can be used instead of or along with that is after that, then you can kind of move to the side and put your arm and either embrace them or you can pat them like that. And, you know, I mean, it's just saying, and then after then you release like that, and then, you know, then you go into the pleasantries like that. So that takes, when you do that, it takes, what, about maybe 1 or 2 seconds.
Exactly.
But if you wrote all this down, it would take up pages.
That's true.
Try it and just show it to someone. So, so you say this is so ritualistic. Yes. What about this? Just a Western handshake. Yes. It takes up 2 pages like that. You know, and then it's like then they'll understand. It's when you write it down. Of course, it looks big. Mm. It's nothing. Achman. It takes
like
up
Achman,
takes 2 pages. It takes 7 seconds.
Yeah,
what's
exactly
the big deal?
Exactly.
Like that. It's just practice. Yeah. Like that, and then it's kind of like they. Oh, because otherwise the tendency is it's ritual. Throw it out.
Yeah.
And so it's like that's very good.
We put also Havan and Griha Pravesh, whatever it's.
Oh yeah, no, Griha Pravesh is good.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, the Obu was also for preaching, for arranging, also nice sadhu sangha also, because it can be taken like that also. I mean, with experience we have seen that devotees come together, they have bhajan, then a little fire for the child, it's a happy mood, shadam, and it's a fantastic, you know, chatting, like, you know, have a good
this is very nice, explains everything very, very nicely. Because, like, the books we're putting out, it's just, this is preliminary stuff, it's just, we're getting all the information of what we use, and getting it down, and we're using it, someone wants to come here and learn it. The idea was, is then after we had done all that, Krishna Kshetra would take it and do something with it. But then he got busy with his work over there and did nothing.
I sent to him this book, he said, well, what this is? I mean, you really like it.
Yeah.
He said, this is...
You know, this would probably be along the line of what he would try to do,
yeah,
you know? But since you're always dealing in this, then it'll come out better. Because his main area is the daily puja.
Yeah. He's
like that. Like that. So the samskaras and the yajnas and that, he doesn't do as much. So, you know, of course, he can relate. But because this is what you do, then this will, it will be... come out because it'll have your experience and realization.
That because it's like a puzzle, and the experience put it together. That's my more or less realization. Yeah. Because by making in different places, and you see the people, so many people you see different. So you know all these things come up together, and then you see the whole. After you have the whole picture more or less.
Yeah.
At least for the West, I'm speaking. For India, it's another thing.
Yeah.
They may use directly Sanskrit or their own language anyway, but. For us in the West, we need like Roman character. We need, if you start to put the Sanskrit as it is, I mean, it's going to be really difficult. So.
Yeah.
But even here in India, they have even if it's Sanskrit, it's translated or in Telugu or they have all in
their. Oh yeah, they can't complain about that. That they can't complain. If they do, it's like, you know, it's not valid complaint because they put it in every language.
Exactly. You know, so that you say, well, if you don't have the real Sanskrit stuff, then you know.
Where's the sound? It's the sound. What do you care? As long as we get the sound, what do you care? You know, if we cook dal in a karai or a pot, you know, what do you care? As long as it comes out nice, you know. You know. Have nothing to do because that's their only standing. That's the only way that they can say that they're special is because they read Devanagari. If you read Devanagari and read it from there, then what's their special?
Yeah.
So they just have to say like that.
even if they're in Nivamagari after the translation also, the levels of different translations.
That, if they have one. Traditions. If they have it, that's the thing. Many of them nowadays, see, now what happens if the child is smart enough to go to school, then they go to school. And if they're not so smart, then they send them to the Gurukul. So, and then they only learn how to do the rituals.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the position nowadays, is that they don't know, they only know rituals, but they probably, there's a good chance they don't know philosophy. Because generally you would learn the mantras, those who are then the best of, then the best of those, then they learn the rituals, and the best of those learn the philosophy.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's nowadays anyone who's smart enough to learn the philosophy and that, unless that's their determination, their parents generally won't let them go into that because they could be making more money as an engineer or something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that, the Brahminical culture, like in South, has finished. Yeah, North has finished long time ago. You know, long ago.
But that's a very good point that you're making, because when you know the philosophy, this is the most important. Yeah. I mean, even if you write a book like that, you have to know the philosophy. You have to know what Prabhupada wanted. You have to know what we want to achieve by doing all these things.
That's very good, what we want to achieve.
That's a very important. Yeah, what we want, like the goal, you said, that's what is our goal. So by doing that, we just don't want a karma kanda things.
No.
We want a sadhu sangha, we want Krishna kata, we want harinam going on. Like we mentioned, I don't know if you have been in Manipur or even here in Bengal. I mean, we mentioned in our introduction is that in a former time they were calling, like in Bhagavan we see, they were calling God himself or Shiva or Brahma, the demigods, to come down. You know, but in Kali Yuga they're not coming. Who has the power to do that? But what we can do is by chanting what they do, they start with bhajan, start bring guru. Just by chanting, and then after Nityananda, Gauranga, and Radha Krishna, just by the bhajan and things, you know, like Narottam Das was doing, you know, they were just by the singing, so that, you know, we can have nice bhajan and vibrate the wonderful bhajans and, you know, the glories of the Lord, you know, to bring them at least in that transcendental, sound vibration also, that completely purified. You feel already the, you know, the. And he would bring also automatically people also at least in mode of goodness with that.
No, it's very important, very valuable.
So that's why in that idea we did it. You know?
Another very important aspect of the samskars is that this is what keeps the communities and, you know, the families all together. Because otherwise, in the modern culture, there's not really anything to get
it's
together
become
about.
Profane, are you saying? My goodness.
Am I supposed to be doing something else now, or?
Anyway.
What was I saying? Because now, grihasthas, you have a community, but they have, according to their own culture, there's no way to get together except if it's smoking, drinking, or sex.
Exactly.
You know, so they don't get together.
Or having a cult play or stupid jokes.
So the Vedic culture, this was how you got families together.
Exactly.
All the ladies can dress up, they can cook things, they can come together. Exactly. I mean, it's all about, you know, babies and kids and this and that. So they're right into it because it's what they like talking about and all that. But now it's in relationship to the culture and to the Lord.
And Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna in the center.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So then it becomes a way to bring your social, you know, your communities together.
Exactly.
And without this,
you're
not going to bring it together.
No way.
No question. Yeah. So this is exceeding. If we're going to have, if we talk about community, if there's no samskars and they're not done in a way to create that atmosphere, then they're not going to be satisfied. That's why they're not satisfied up to now, is they try to do varnashram without the culture. So this is part of the culture.
Exactly.
And without that, there's no question.
In our preface, we mentioned that, for example, you know, we start with some, because devotees ask the question, so we start right away with the devotee's question, John. Well,
are you comfortable there? You want to sit up here?
Nice, okay, man.
No, come sit
here. Who is a Brahmana nowadays, you know? We cannot do that. Prabhupada, they say, we cannot find Brahmanas anymore. And it's Kali Yuga, nothing works.
Yeah.
So you say, but
you know, there's no Brahman on it, but how are they going to come?
So just tell them yes. So we should also go down to McDonald's and have a...
Exactly.
Order a double cheese.
No, the point we say, you know, start no to make problems. Them the Brahmana.
Yeah, no, but tell
make them
if,
in a good consciousness. Yeah, have a garbanana sauce.
Yeah, so you say, yeah, no, I'm just saying, on the one back, I agree. As you say, well, if there's no Brahmanas, it says everybody's Shudras, so then you shouldn't be doing business either or managing.
Yeah, exactly.
You should just go out, get a 9-to-5 job, and just do whatever you're told, and that's a Shudra.
Exactly.
So if you want to control things, you want to get money, this and that, so then why are you doing this? Because in the Kali Yuga, there's some Shudras. But your point is
have to start sometime. Make good garbana samskara, yeah, and then they
say,
become.
You're right. The first generation, forget it. Like that. We're talking, this is for second generation.
Exactly.
Like that, it says. Prabhupada said, our children's children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the children are going to still have some of the consciousness and effect of associating with us.
Yeah.
While the, what is Swami?
Jai Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Oh, Swami is...
Is your taco meter running?
means you
should,
time.
You should be making a lot of money.
You mean charging here per hour? You mean?
Per minute.
Well, it started running at 10 o'clock.
Huh?
Started running at 10 o'clock. And at 12 o'clock, no, I figured it was time to stop.
This is overtime. That means you should get half as much more.
Doctor is thinking to speak, Maharaj. We're coming here once a year. We meet him so rarely. I've also
been. I mean, you kind of. It's because I stay here so much, I see him, how long he talks. And I'm always thinking you should have a meter here. There should be some practical result.
No. What you do is you put a little funnel up here, and it can fill up. We can fill up hot air balloons or something like that, or store it for winter. Send it to Sweden; they can heat their houses. I don't know what he thought of that when I just mentioned that. I was just giving an example, because when I went to West, is that. Everyone wears shoes and socks because the place is cold.
Yeah, yeah.
All you'd have to do is put a little bit more money into the heat.
Yeah,
then you can walk around barefoot.
I know they wear socks on Yalta, Maharaj, because they say it's cold. The floor is cold.
Put a heater in. Heat the floor. We built the altar.
Put some something like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You can even put wool mats down. That's what we do. We put wool rugs down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like that, you know. So, something they can do. But the thing is what you value, you'll get the... You'll do it. You'll find a solution.
Yeah. When they are hungry, they find a solution.
Yeah, of course. That's important.
Exactly.
So Swami is doing ISKCON food relief. Might as well distribute. And I say, how come you're nuts? Well, I got some nuts from the Maharaj, you know.
So one thing you mentioned, so this when you use for invoking the fire, you for all the fire of the different sanskara, you use Vaishnavi?
No. Just for that. It means when you're doing deity worship homas, in other words, the things that are dealing, they're purely pancharatric in relationship to deity worship, then you put in Vaishnav homa. Like if we're going to do like Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam, at the end, you wanted to say something? Is that what you're saying? What? Oh, if it's conversation, yeah, then come later. If it was something else, then. Hard to say. You can try 4 o'clock, unless you have something else.
4 o'clock?
Yeah. Means like in the Bhagavatam, in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna's telling about the process of deity worship, and then he's saying at one point you can do a yajna.
Yeah.
So that's a deity worship yajna.
But you say or tantric, or pancharitric,
yeah,
or Vedic.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Vedic, tantric, or
a mix.
Mix.
So what we have those Vedic rites, but it's mixed with the tantric.
Hey, on the subject of yajna. Yeah. There's the question of an initiation yajna. also Bhakti Vikash Maharaj says, you know, like we did, we do last year, kind of special early morning esoteric.
Here, for example.
And Maharaj is interested too.
Which Maharaj?
Bhakti Vikash Maharaj.
Ah, so the two of you.
Yeah. I'm getting a small crowd who want initiation. I'm coming with recommendations.
Which that is where we're giving the class, so many are coming because they're over there, they're coming looking around and all that, and some are looking in here and to the point over there.
The shadow is over there. He said the shadow is over there is the substance.
Oh, yeah. That's the substance. We're the shadow.
Book of Samskaras. Oh, you did this?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I had a question mark.
Are they for sale now?
Yeah, yeah.
Here?
Yeah. We bought a few.
Or
the
mini
market.
Market,
yes.
How much?
Explain the other first.
We sell it for $15.
Good price. Look at this, Varnasham Dharma.
I'm printing it in French.
This
yeah.
is now what officially been decided not necessary for my.
Oh yeah, I was going to go today to talk about
that. They had a social development, you know, meeting. This is what he told me this morning.
Someone told me that yesterday they decided.
And they had
it's not necessary
decided that Varnashram Dharma is not necessary for my airport.
No, but that's a week. No, that here we go through all the tradition and ultimately.
Yeah, it's
I don't know. It's
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Not important.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, you know, for France or not my airport.
Okay.
Mayapur, everyone's just going to sit down
and
chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. So we don't need grihastas, we don't need brahmacharis.
That's
for friends.
And the everyone, you know? They're coming from the roses, from the flowers. They're not coming anymore from a womb of mothers.
Yes, yes. We'll just grow them on coconut trees like Vishwamitra did.
Pretty good. In pots, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Pots, I agree. I mean, if we could grow them on coconut
trees. Special
incubation
time.
Do you understand? We could revolutionize the whole society.
This is great. I gotta get Gaur Bhagavan. He's gotta get this book.
Yeah, he should study it. He should read it.
I got fortunately. I got, of course, you know, Banu Maharaj. We work in Madras with Tulati. They fix everything. Uh-huh. And then I went back, and then Gopi Paran was in Vrindavan, so he could do the. I got Purushottam before with one devotee, but he's.
Not necessarily
good on the, especially on this, you know, he doesn't know about samskaras. He has no idea about that, so good people.
What I was saying is that something like that, a deity worship homo, where you're just worshiping the Lord,
yeah.
then you would use Vaishnavagni.
Vaishnavagni.
Yeah. So that would include then our diksha, like that. If you're doing the Upanayanam, meaning the Brahma Gayatri, for men, because men only receive it in the Vedic thing, you can use Samudbhava.
But when you're
using Grihastas and women and all that, then you use Vaishnavagni.
Really? Because I put Samudbhava because that was what we...
Because that's
even with Gaur Keshava, we...
Because that's the...
In South India, also they use
like
Samudbhava.
I don't think they use it in their Pancharatrik initiation.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because what happens, even the Gaudiya Mahamudra.
No, but they don't mix. They don't mix also. Here
no,
we
no,
are
they
mixing.
Don't mix them. They do two separate ceremonies.
Yeah. But here we are mixing.
Yes, so therefore you take the higher one and leave the lower.
Gotcha.
Because the lower one is more specific. It's just like Hare Krishna, anyone can chant. Initiation, no initiation.
Yeah.
But the Gayatri is you can only chant if you have specific qualities. But it's a lower mantra, but it requires higher qualification.
Yeah.
So in the same way as Samudbhava, that
I
initiation...
See, because that's what they put.
Oh, I see. Because the Samudbhava then it would mean they would have to be brahmacharis who have a dvija nature that they can get the Brahma Gayatri.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. And so we're going beyond
that.
We're going beyond that. You know, you're going into grihasthas, you're going into everybody. So it's
And much beyond. Sometimes
beyond, yeah.
You wonder what this person is doing here. But anyway, Guru Maharaj, you should be there.
Yeah. So basically it's like, this is for someone who is qualified as a Brahmin, but not qualified as a Vaishnav. So what we're doing
because
they're a Vaishnav,
they
automatically include Brahmin.
Exactly.
That's like that purport in the Bhagavatam. I think it's 121 or 122, like that. Second chapter, the first or the second verse. Then Prabhupada mentions that Sukadev Goswami, because he was a devotee, therefore Brahmanism is included in him. And he didn't require to go through the reformatory processes. Because his father was saying, it's in that verse where father says, wait, you know, don't go away, at least go through the samskar, you know, let me initiate you. And it's only the trees echoed, you know. So in there, Prabhupada said he didn't need. So because they're devotees, because they're Vaishnavs, then a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin. That way they're getting it. Otherwise, from the Vedic point, once you cross 16, you're finished. You can't get it. Like that. And they have to have those qualifications, and which generally we don't have. You know, maybe after many years, many years, then you'll see someone develops very nice. So
you may have the you may have that attitude, but you don't have yet the training.
Yeah, you don't have it. It comes with time.
We our Gurukul is good. I mean, for the time being, it's a little, you know, different time and circumstances for us.
Of course.
Like you say, after
future
generation.
Yeah, for the first generation, how many of them are like really Pakka Brahmins by occupation? I mean, you could probably count them on a few. I mean, it's very few. I mean, like Janani Vas Pakkajungi, Kurma, you know, Omkar before. You know, he had his rough side, but he was a Pajar. You know. Like that. I have one or two boys, Gopi Puranadana, Banu, but they're not so much into puja, but they're real, like, Brahmins.
What about that boy, what's his name? Gopal?
He's right into it.
He's a really...
All that, you know? Like that. So, around the world, there's a few, very... And so, that's like, they could make Brahminical, occupational duties their duties. You know, and preach through that, or preach along with that, you know. And maybe as they get older, some other ones are doing these things and let the kids do it, and then we'll preach, you know, you know, like that. But it's few, so it's like, I see it's going to be the next generations where they're going to value this more, practice it more, perform it, like that.
So we will use a Vaishnava. So then you will use the same term, a Vaishnava, or how?
I would use everything. We just use Vaishnavagni. But when I do Upanayanam Samskar for boys, I use Samudbhava.
Like for that. The boys and
When I do Upanayanam for those boys that get.
That's a very
like that. You know, that's just a. That's.
I will make a special copy and send for those. Like, because generally priests and all these.
Those who would actually use it, you can just let them know or something. Or if there's a Deity Worship conference, you could put it on there.
Yeah, we will do that,
Just put it on there.
Put on maybe on the Archan book or something.
Yeah.
Archan journal.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, if you read this, then for those who really apply it for all
movement,
then please use
this. It's better. Because we're going to... See, it's like what we're doing is... Because we are chanting, we're getting qualified for Pancharatra.
It means
we develop that. Because of the Pancharatra and the chanting, then we're getting the Vedic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. So therefore, the chanting is going on, like you say. The kirtan's going on. That gives the potency to our yajna.
Exactly.
And then you go in through the Pancharatric ritual. Our basis is Pancharatra. We may use the Vedic, you know, aspects, like we do the Panchareka instead of the star, like that.
Well, I put the star also for like for small yagyas. You know, if you have a small, you can say a lotus, eight-petal lotus, and you with cream in the middle. Sometimes they use om or
So it's like those things aren't what's important. The important is knowing what you're going through, the purposes. So like that, it means how we're going into this. In other words, because what it is Agni, there's 18 Agnis, yeah. 18 fires. Two yeah. of them we throw out for the burning of the bodies.
Exactly.
The Kravyata Agnis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that leaves 16. Mm. So those 16 are connected to these different things, and he has a different mood with this and that. But as a Vaishnav, as Vaishnav Agni, mm. that means anything to do with worship of the deity, mm. anything to do with that kind of thing, we approach him. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so if in that we have that aspect, he'll have that aspect of Samud Baba or this or that, and he'll
so
take care
say,
of that.
So let's say for Havan Homa, if you will make, let's say, on the Janmastami or things
yeah,
like yeah. that, then you use Vaishnavagni.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just doing a yagya just for the deities.
Yeah, because we have like Havan Homa, we use Mangalam, Mangala.
Could, but I'm just
but
saying...
But not these house of Indians.
Yeah, but they don't know anyway. Matter. They don't know what you're saying or like mm. that, because these things you don't have to say out loud
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like
yeah.
that. So we generally do. If on Janmashtami you do these samskars for Krishna,
yeah, yeah.
then you'd use the names of the samskars that it's going through.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. Yeah, like yeah. if you do the Janma samskar and yeah, all those things for Krishna, you'd use the names of those mm. fires. Mm. Like that. Then it works. Heavy. This is very good. Very good. You saw the kumbhas on the back?
Yeah,
I
saw.
I took out the swastika, sorry. But,
you know, in Europe, he said that.
I mean, you know, in Europe, Germany, wow, you know,
oh, yeah.
France.
I was
Germany, you could have really well. France is another question.
No, you mean...
No, no, Germany, they don't like that.
Really?
Oh, they don't want to see it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know... It was only the neo-Nazis.
Yeah, yeah, neo-Nazis.
You know, there's a way to do a swastika... That it's a swastika, no one will know it's a swastika. So you can use it on, like, mandalas and things like
with
that.
Up there
no,
and
no, no,
point
that,
in the middle?
Yeah, you can do that. That kind of camouflages it. But there's another one. It's one that's done. That's a regular thing. Because you have your square
yeah.
in the middle.
Uh-huh.
That's also considered a swastika.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Achcha.
Like when they build houses, it's one of the ways you can do it, the swastik design.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
this will be male, means it's going this way.
Yeah, yeah.
The female will be the other way.
So the female side, you will use in which regard?
Generally, if you're using one, you always use male. And if you're using, you want to make, you know, like you're drawing on the floor and you do one here and one there, or you're making banners and you put one
then
there,
you put
there.
Two,
then you can put two, one male, one and female, that. But you generally never use female alone.
Because Hitler was using female.
Yeah, he was using female, plus
he's
putting it in
angle. Destroying is more.
Yeah, so it's...
You know, it's the female one.
In one special angle tantric. Also, yeah.
Yeah, tantrics is this.
It's tantric, yeah.
Mini
market
every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you understand? This one. Don't miss it. It's the only book there that says samskars. If that color got the color. Huh? See Devanagari at the top?
I know
it's
so.
Okay.
I mean, the color you can see is really. There's no other book in that color.
Yeah,
I look
yeah.
all the book, I say, this color is not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's nice.
Now, what we did, and we put also purificatory rituals for successful life. We put.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You make sure. Yeah. People
I mean,
know.
Because the people, they get a book, they have to know what is for me, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't thought even to put samskar in the beginning. I thought maybe, you know, for Grihastha things, you know, I wanted, because samskar make them also, they see, oh, this is for, you know, they open the scene, they see mantra, they close it, they put it. I've seen. I look the reaction of people. They have no culture. We have no culture.
But also, it's this is a book for people who will, two people will be, there, those who are going to have, you know, pujaris, priests like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And for those devotees who are like serious grihasthas who are philosophically inclined, want to know what is the culture.
In Europe, actually, it's going very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the book sale. I want the you know, for
if they would read this and they would read the first volume of the deity worship.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. then they get a very clear idea of our culture.
It's a basis. It's like I said, this is at least a start. Then after some years, we can, you know, I know you will see how it goes. They will see. They will feel okay. Now we can give more. Or the second generation is coming. They will, you know, we have.
Because they'll Prabhupada said they'll start fire by mantra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I hope to see that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to see that also. I know when I see that, then...
You have done...
Okay, finished.
Job is done, finished.
Okay, now we can die in peace.
But I'm sure with purity, everything. I mean, the purity
the
is
whole
the
thing is purity.
Exactly.
It means the expertise of chanting it, that is exactly right, but along with that, without the purity, it still won't work. The